and then an old friend of mine I've not seen for some time will stop by and ask me, "Hey, where you been? What's on your mind?" And wonder why I'm not drinking and still painting this old town red. I tell him I'm serving Jesus now, and the old man is dead. The man you see before you may look a lot the same. I may wear the same clothes and have the same old name. But you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you'd see a brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead. You see, according to the Word of God, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I used to live such a wicked life. I had no hope in sight. I was lost in darkness, searching for the light. Then one night in a little church, after hearing what the preacher said, I gave my life to Jesus, and the old man was dead. The man you see before you may look a lot the same. May wear the same clothes and have the same old name, but you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, well, you'd see a brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead. You're still looking on the outside, but if you could see inside instead, well, you'd see a brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead. Thank you, Lord. The old man is dead.
Would that say amen? I love that song. I love that song. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, we don't get to the top of the hill too often. Feels good to be on top of the hill, don't it? Feels like we're just floating. I know I'm up here every Sunday, and sometimes it feels like this whole building's on my chest. But then it's time I kiss where it feels like we're just coasting down a big hill, enjoying the ride. Amen. Brother Jason, won't y'all come and I'm just going to preach a really, really short sermon. And I know you've heard that before. But give you a little devotion like we did the other night. And I had a preacher call from South Carolina today and said, "Send me that DVD." If we got DVDs from Friday night, he wants one. He said he's going to make his whole church watch it. Thursday morning and Friday night, there was a DVD. I want Olin to come. Do that song, y'all. The one y'all did the other night. Can you do that? Or something? Somebody got a testimony while they're coming. And yeah, go ahead.
this one, didn't
we? Amen. Need some help here. Jeremy? How about Jeremy? He knows this song. Get up here. We'll make us a group here. And who helped you the other day? One of them girls?
Yeah, I need one out too.
All right. I don't know who. Come on. Amen. You only live once. Get up and do something for Jesus. All right, while they're coming, it sure is good to see all of you. But Joey, you sing too, don't you, Joey? Yeah, he's a singer. And Alex, sure is good to see you tonight. Amen, brother. I know he's going to kill me for this. Why don't you stand up and say something for the Lord? I appreciate Alex. Go ahead, brother. Just stand up and just say, thank you, Brother Danny, or whatever. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. He has that Jellystone Park up there in Nebo, and that's a great place. Great place for your family. Great place for your kids to play picnic. They got all kind of stuff in the summer. Waters. I don't know what y'all do this time of year. You got leaf lookers, I'm assuming. Yeah. We don't need to go there to see the leaves here. I got a million around my house. But praise the Lord. Good to see you, brother. Okay, I love this little song. It's a little simple song. And a lot of times when I go off traveling, people say, like that song, God's Been Good, and all. They say, we need the music to that song. And I say, I don't know if they are any music to it. Somebody up in the mountains writes them songs, and they just get passed around. And to me, there ain't no prettier songs in the world. Bless you. So this is one of them. You think about yourself while they sing.
Lord in heaven above, why'd you pick me to love? Why'd you love me? I just can't understand. There are others more worthy of Jesus than me. Yes, you love me. As small as I am, sometimes it's hard to walk in His footsteps, but when I stumble, He understands. He picks me up, wipes off my sin, puts me on my feet again. Yes, He loves me as small as I am. Well, I'm nobody special. I'm no ruler or king. This old world doesn't know who I am. But Jesus walks close beside me. Yes. He fights my battles and guides me. Yes, He loves me as small as I am. Sometimes it's hard to walk in His footsteps, but if I stumble, He understands. He picks me up, wipes off my sin, puts me on my feet again. Yes, He loves me as small as I am. He picks me up, wipes off my sin, puts me on my feet again. Yes, He loves me as small as I am.
Yes, sir. Well, I like that song, don't you? Amen. I'll see if y'all paid attention. Who was that last one there? That was John Mitchell. I was just seeing if y'all learned anything from the preachers this week. I'm sorry, I'm just kidding. Amen. Y'all sing.
gave them to y'all.
Okay.
I gave them to y'all. No, I didn't.
We're going to have a knock
down.
Amen. Right here.
You're a liar. They're in my Bible. You got them? You got it. Amen.
Go ahead, brother. I know somebody will just turn loose here tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Got a word on your heart right quick. Honestly, I'm just going to brief little message here this evening. So if you got something on your heart, we'll stand up and say it right quick. Time to do it right now. Go ahead, Joey. Ma'am. Y'all pray about that for them. Now, it's still good to have Brother Bill and Miss Jean Harris with us. If you missed her testimony this morning, stand up there, sister. The ones that were not in here, just stand up. These folks drove all the way from New Mexico. They watch me on YouTube all the time. And this is their church now. And they drove 30 hours to get here. And tell them again how you found out about it.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Isn't that a blessing to have them with us? Now, the other preacher that she's talked about, he's a character. Y'all ought to check him out sometime. He's got some strange ideas, and I don't just say that. About a very intelligent guy. And the most dangerous people in the world, people always talk about education's answer to the world's problems. Some of the people that's caused more trouble in the world have been dangerous and educated. Hitler and some of them, the worst mass murderers in history were educated. And all that teaches is education without Jesus will mess you up. Without the Lord Jesus Christ. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning of all right knowledge and science and everything is a fear of God. And the most dangerous people in the world are educated heathen. And buddy, we've got them in this generation. All right, tonight I just want a little P.S. on the camp meeting here this evening. John chapter 4, if you'll turn there with me just a minute, I'm going to give you four little things here, and I'm not joking. It'll be very brief here this evening. And I know you got to get the kids into bed. Some of you sacrificed every night to have the kids here, and they're tired and going back to school tomorrow. But I guarantee you, nobody would disagree with me. It's been well worth it. John chapter 4, Jesus was talking with the woman at the well. This is who the woman we call the woman at the well. She got saved. She changed her life. Changed. But I want you to notice a statement that he made, and I want us to think about it for a minute. Look at verse number 35. John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Now what Jesus was saying there, he said, you see them crops out there? The pumpkins are in now. Watermelons done come. Peaches, apples, pears, all their fruits are in. Harvest time. Somebody harvested these pumpkins. I had one of the kids come up the other day and said, is them real pumpkins? And I said, yep, they sure are. Except we sprayed them with clear lacquer shellac so they'll look shiny. But they're real. We had that up in our church one time in Marion, and we had apples like that. And they was all shiny and everything. And this guy, he kept saying, man, them apples look good. Man, right when he's preaching, took a big bite of one of them and ate that shellac. And you remember that? It was Larry Brown. Y'all remember? Some of y'all was there. He went, boom, spit all over about the first three rows. Wanted him to kill him. But those pumpkins, I was thinking, isn't it weird that pumpkins come out this time of year and they're the same color as the changing of the leaves? That's a strange thing, isn't it? It's God showing us harvest. You know why God lets seasons come? You know why? Why couldn't the Lord have just made the earth where all the weather would be the same all the time? He could have made it so that it had been 70 degrees all the time, 68, whatever, and fruits would have been there all the time, 12. But He did that to show you that life is like that. Life goes through seasons. Sometimes it's spring in our lives. Boy, you're feeling good and everything's blooming and praise God, things are looking good. Sometimes it's summer in our lives. Boy, glory to God, things are hot. We're moving. Amen. Hallelujah. And then sometimes it's fall before winter. And fall, things begin to die. I'll never forget, my mom didn't like this time of the year. I don't either. A lot of bad things happen to me this time of year. And it's not my favorite time, put it that way. I think the leaves are beautiful, but she says it looks like everything's dying. I'll never forget her saying that. And I began to think about these things. And then sometimes life is like winter. It's gray. It's dismal. It's cold. And if you don't have a comforter to wrap up in, a blanket, you'll freeze. That's what the Holy Spirit is. Sometimes you go through a divorce or you go through times of battle of cancer, or you'll go through the battle of losing a job or losing a loved one. He's talking about losing his dad and possibly maybe his mother soon. Those are winter times. Life is like that. It has seasons. And the season we're in right now is called fall, autumn, or harvest time. Time to reap the crops. And I'd like to say tonight, I want to talk about harvest time. That's the title of my message tonight, harvest time. It's harvest time. When you see, please, I'm telling you, just in the last few days, I've been going up in the woods to pray above my house every evening before the camp meeting. Did this morning, and I went today also. And I can't hardly close my eyes for looking up there. And it's absolutely, what's pretty to me is those trees that have about four colors on the same tree. It's green, then it goes out in the front, turns a little orange, and then red, and then bright yellow, all on the same tree. I've heard Irm say that no artist can duplicate the brilliance of those colors. No matter how good they are, you can't make it to look like the real thing. That's God just with a stroke of a brush just showing us His glory and His beauty. But He's also showing us that life is like that. It don't always stay summer. It don't always stay winter, thank God. It don't always stay spring. And it don't always stay harvest. The time we're living in right now is harvest time. The leaves changing. Now, these things right here are not real, of course. But you'll see the leaves up there on the trees turning them colors right there. You know what that's a sign? Dying. They'll die, they'll turn brown, and fall to the ground. Now, that's God showing us that harvest is coming. And when the Lord said, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that He'll send forth laborers into His harvest," that's what He's talking about. When a missionary comes and says, "I'm going to Asia, or I'm going to Africa, or I'm going to somewhere in Europe, or I'm going to Australia, or somewhere in South America, or I'm going here or there," you know what? He's going into the harvest to reap. When our bus workers go out into the trailer parks or the compartment complexes, the fruit is hanging on the trees. And we're going in there reaping it. We reaped out about 21 kids last Sunday morning. I think there might have been some saved back there this morning. I don't know. But you know what? Brother, you know what that is? That's reaping the harvest. Quickly, these four things. Number one, it's harvest time for the church. It's harvest time for the church. It is harvest time. There's no doubt about it. There are periods in the Bible called dispensations. Dispensation means a period of time. One man said, "I don't believe in dispensations." There's no such thing as a person that don't believe in dispensation. You may not believe in all of them, but you believe in some of them. If you believe there's an Old Testament, New Testament, you believe in dispensation. It's different time. When God works with people in different ways. That's what a dispensation is. So back here, before Adam and Eve fell, it was, they call it the Adamic covenant, Adam. And God made a covenant with Adam, then he sinned, then there was a time of conscience when God dealt with man according to his conscience. There wasn't no law, there wasn't no Bible, they went by their conscience and God dealt with them. Then there was the time of the law, when Moses gave the law, or God gave the law through Moses. That law carried us up to New Testament time. Then there was a time when Jesus came the first time. After He left, the Holy Spirit came down 50 days later. That's what Pentecost means. Pent, like P-E-N-T, five. Pentecost. Pentecost, 50 days later, the Holy Spirit came down and indwelled those apostles and put them into the, quote, body of Christ. That began what we call the church age. The church age would start here. Say right here is when Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Back here is the Old Testament. That would be the law, conscience, and the period of time there before Noah's flood. Then you know, from here, from the time the Holy Spirit come down to the rapture of the church, is called the church age, or the age of grace. That's the period that you and I are living in right now. Now the Lord said, 6 days. God made everything in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Now, He did that for a reason. That was no accident. He was teaching us something. I don't believe God done anything by accident. Why? God could have just went, bink, and made everything in a half a second. He could have made it yesterday before He did. if he wanted to. I mean, that's how great God is. He can do stuff after it's done, undo it, and it never was done. After it's done. If he wants to, that's how great God is. He's limitless. You can't box him into our thinking. And so the day of age of grace here is an age of the church. And according to that scale, there's 4 days before the church, 4,000 years. There's 2 days of the church, 2,000 years. And then after this, the seventh age or the millennium. There is the millennial reign of Christ mentioned 6 times in the book of Revelation. 1,000 years. 1,000 years. 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Over and over and over. So if the Lord comes down right here in the rapture and the church age started here, we are at harvest time for the church. We're at the end, brother. We're at the time when he better just go out and get them. Every size, shape, race, color, creed, religion, just tell them all. Listen, you tell the same gospel works on a Jehovah Witness as works on a drunk downtown. The same gospel works on a Muslim as works on a person that's raised in the mountains of North Carolina their entire life. God has one message for all mankind. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and that will get the job done. That's our sickle. That's our sickle that we reap the harvest with. Tell it at work. Kids, tell it at school. Mom and Dad, tell it to your neighbors. It's harvest time for the church. I'm glad, brother, it's harvest time. It's not time to back up. It's not time to back off. It ain't time to cut out giving to missionaries. It ain't time to cut out bus ministries. It's time to put... A man told me, he said, why don't y'all build you a nice big fellowship? I'd love to. I'd love to. But I believe it's more important to run them buses out there and get them boys and girls than it is to build a big... I'd love to have one. Maybe someday we can. But right now, we got to choose. And if I got to choose, I'll choose the people over the building any day of the week. You know why? It is harvest time for the church. Number two, it's harvest time for Christians. It's harvest time for Christians. Y'all know we're running out of time, don't you? You know that any minute, any second, we could hear that trumpet sound. I know there's a lot of argument these days about the coming of the Lord and pre-trib and post-trib and all that. I've been through all that stuff 30 years ago. And we're going to deal with it here pretty soon, Lord willing, because got a lot of people asking questions. But I like what old Billy Kelly used to say. He got on there and he said, praise God. He said, I'm so pre-millennial. He said, I won't even go to post office no more. He said, I'm so pre-millennial, I quit eating post toasties. He said, I believe Jesus is coming before the millennial reign. And we all believe that, but there's difference of opinion on exactly when and where before the millennium. I understand that, and we'll deal with it. But one way you know there's coming a rapture is, and I'll deal with this maybe in a few weeks, if you'll help me pray about that, is that if the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine is wrong, then Jesus could not come tonight. That preacher that she was talking about a minute ago believes that. They believe that. They believe that the sun has to go dark, moon has to turn to blood before Jesus comes back. If that doctrine is true, thousands of years of preaching has been wrong, that folks get ready because Jesus could come in any minute because he couldn't come in any minute. You know what I think? I think a trumpet could sound, he could come right now. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be translated. That means change. Right in a second, he could come. The coming of the Lord is imminent. That means it could happen at any second. They were looking for it in the days of the apostle Paul. He said, we which are alive and remain shall be called up together. And I'll deal with that in a few weeks. I wasn't planning on getting off of it on that tonight. But I'm telling you, the church, the Christians, our time is short and harvest time is here. In other words, whatever you're going to do, you better get busy and do it. Don't you sit there and think, well, I'm only 16, 17 years old. I'm just going to do my own thing, you know, and be cool and listen to my music. I know it ain't right, but I ain't old like y'all are. So I'm going to listen to my music. Now I'm going to go to my parties. Let's just throw this in since I'm just talking to you a little bit tonight. You know that a Christian, all y'all are Christians, you know that a Christian has no business celebrating the devil's holiday Saturday night. You do know that. I'm sure you got a brain in your head. And we do not honor the devil. We do not honor Satan. We do not honor any kind of witch. We're not witches. We're not goblins. We don't believe in honoring Satan. Now, what's sinful about candy? Nothing. What's sinful about giving out tracts? Nothing. What's sinful about going out and witnessing Saturday night? Great. Glory to God. Eat all the candy you want. And what you don't want, bring it to me and we'll eat it. But listen, we don't believe in no witches, no devils. And some of you think, oh, Halloween's fun, man. We scare each other, nigga. You get in touch with the spirit of the devil messing around with stuff like that. Amen? Hey, all you teenagers, don't you go to no party Saturday night where there's going to be a bunch of hell down where there's cussing and drinking alcohol and you'll get messed up with the wrong spirit. You say, well, it's Halloween. What are we going to do? Give out tracts to the trick-or-treaters. Amen. Be a witness for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Tell somebody about the Lord. You know why? It's harvest time for the Christians. Amen. And nobody that's right with God would disagree with what I just said. If you disagree with what I just said, there's something wrong with your heart, man. You think it's right to go to a Halloween party where they're honoring the devil? There's something wrong with your heart, buddy. Say amen right there. Number three, death is in harvest time. It's on your trail. It's on your trail. You hear me? Death's on your trail. It's harvest time for death. You don't know when you're going to be alive another day. We have no idea. Somehow or another, we're all into this health stuff and everything, and I believe in it. Bodily exercise, providence, little, not much, little. But I'm telling you, that don't guarantee you'd be alive one more minute. I was thinking the other day, I was driving up the road, and I was going around a little curvy road up there to a Nebo, and them big trucks passing me. You're that close to death every 30 or 40 seconds just driving in your car. That close. All it would take, a tire blowout. All it would take, man go to sleep, or a man impaired by drugs or alcohol or something. We cross that midline there. Hey, it don't even take that. Text it. Look on your phone. Well, I've tried my best to cut that down to a minimum. somebody will call or something like that, and you're on curve. You think, well, I'm just going to read one more word, and you're on the other side of the road. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands for who's done that. But I know a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. I will not tell. That was fooling with his phone one day and come in a hair of hitting somebody head on. It don't take but that long. Now, talking, I think you'll be allowed. I don't see no difference in talking on the phone and talking to somebody sitting beside you writing with you. Personally. But it can still be very dangerous. That's how close you come to death every single day. Not counting an aneurysm. Not counting a heart attack. Not counting something going wrong in your body. Death is on your trail. I know there's some of you in here tonight. You work hard and you're physically fit and you run and you exercise and you take vitamins. I'm all for that. I think you ought to take care of this body, this temple that we have, that God's given us. We ought to be careful what we put in it. We ought to be careful what we put on it. We ought to be careful where we take it, where we let it go, what we let it do, what we let it see. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, but either way you cut the cake, death is on your trail. Have you noticed that you're looking worse? John Miskam and me said, how come you keep getting better? I said, you ain't kidding me, buddy. You ain't kidding me. I look at me every morning. Ugh. And us boys, we can't even do nothing to it like you ladies can. This is it, buddy. This is it. Lord, y'all, I'd hate to see some of y'all in real life. I mean, what you really look like. Probably scare you. I mean, you think you was going trick-or-treating. I mean, can you imagine? I'm telling you what. Death is on your trail, brother. I mean, it's coming at us, and ain't nothing we can do about it. You get older every day. Step slow down. There's a wrinkle. There's another. There's more. There, you brush your hair and there's half your hair in the brush. After 50, everything falls out, falls off, or falls down. Your whole body just goes toward the floor. Gravity finally wins. It's been pulling on you all these years and it just sucks you down. Right? You get uglier and uglier. Thank you, sister. There's one honest person right back there. One of them girls back there a while ago said, "Brother Danny, I'm going to do your makeup." I don't wear makeup. Am I doing a bad job of it or something? I know that. I wear makeup. God have mercy on a boy that does. God have mercy on a boy that wears makeup or lipstick. Probably wears lace on his underwear. I don't know. Death is on our trail. But let me say fourthly and last tonight, sin and judgment is harvest time. But it'll get you. It'll get you. It'll get you. Amen. I know a young man as my friend for many years. I worked with this boy, not on a job, but worked in church. He was in, out. All you kids, listen to me. Teenagers, especially, this is for you. This boy got saved when he was about, I'm thinking, 16. Young, they all said he was good looking. I've never seen a good looking boy. But that all the girls liked him, put it that way. And all the girls liked him. He was popular. And his mom and dad bought him a new car. I think bought him a new car. He had one car that had about 59,000 miles on it and never even changed oil in it. He'd just get out and run. And they'd get drunk and they'd throw beer cans down in it, spill beer in the carpet. And I'm telling you, just crazy, just wild as a buck. Well, he got saved. He got saved, did real good for a while. Boy, he'd bring his Bible and come to church. And still, young, good-looking. Listen, if you're young, good-looking, and got money, that's a curse on you. Being real rich is a curse, and being real poor is a curse. Being real good-looking is a curse, and being real ugly is a curse. You want to be somewhere in the middle. David, some of y'all looking at me like, what am I? I don't know. I'd say we got all three categories here in our church. Mostly the bottom two. But listen, it's a curse. And he was young, good looking, and had money. That's a bad combination. And they was partying. And them boys and marrying. And he'd smoke pot and get high for a while, you know, get out and listen. And he told me, he said, Danny, he'd bring me stuff. He said, Danny, you've got to hear this song. That's when Hell's Bells come out. Remember Hell's Bells, AC/DC song? Some of y'all remember that? Oh, long, that was way back in the 80s, you know. And say, Satan, got you! Hell's Bells! Like a stupid fool on there. That ain't singing. That's screaming. Sound like a cat scratching the wall or something. And he said, listen to these words. And I thought, Lord, mercy. I remember when me and him was in the car and he said, you listen to this song. I said, good night. I said, that's a devil in that, buddy. And he'd come to the altar and he'd come down here and cry. Listen, teenagers. And he'd cry and he'd say, oh, and I never forget, he'd get up and wipe tears like that and sit right down on the front row and hold his Bible. And he'd say, are you going to preach somewhere this week? And I'd say, yeah. And he said, can I ride with you? Can I go tomorrow night? I'd meet him somewhere in Marion. We'd go to Hickory and back. And tomorrow, he said, can I go with you tomorrow night? I said, yeah, we'd go to it. I mean, every night that week. 7 nights a week. Church, 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 church. And then one Sunday, I'd look, he wouldn't be back there. And I'd call him. That's 4 cell phones. Where you at, man? He said, Danny, I know you're going to be mad at me, but these boys come over, and I went and got drunk Saturday night. And I said, man, I called his name. I said, what's wrong with you? I said, don't you know sin, it'll get you in trouble? Don't you know it'll kill you? And he said, I know, I know, I know. He'd stay out 2 or 3 weeks and his conscience would get to bothering him so bad that he'd come back to church and bam, hit the altar again, bawl his eyes out. And pray and cry and pray and cry. You can preach anywhere this week? Yeah, I'm preaching down in Charlotte. Can I go with you tomorrow night? We talk all the way there. This is good Christian music. Have a good service. Go out and eat. Come back. 11, 12, 12:30 at night. Get home. Can I go tomorrow night? Yeah. Tuesday night, Wednesday night. You know, I wouldn't let none of them go on Wednesday night because I wanted them to be at the church. But sometimes I'd let somebody like that I was really trying to help. And we'd go every night and we'd talk. And he'd hold the Bible and he'd say, how do you do this? How do you do this? What does the Bible mean when it says this? What does the Bible mean? I mean, he was in. Then as soon as them old guys come around on Friday night, and there's a good movie come out, his flesh just, he never would shut that door on that flesh. Leave it open about that much. If you leave that door open, the devil will come back in. You say, but can't I do just a little bit? If you do, there's some things you can do that's questionable. You can't really say the sin. But then next thing you know, you're here. Then you're there. Then you're there. Then you're there. You know watching movies is addictive? I know people think they got to watch a movie. They have to. The world's going to come to an end if they don't get to watch a movie on Friday. Well, I got news for you. You don't have to do that. And I'm not saying they're all bad. They're not all bad. 95% probably is. But he'd get in, he'd get out, he'd get in, he'd get out. And he'd say, Danny, why is it even wrong to smoke pot? I said, man, because it messes you up. He said, the Bible don't, you know, you start trying to justify sin like that, you know you're backslid. You start trying to figure out a way to make it right so you won't feel guilty, and you know good and well down in there it ain't right. You know, I know we're not married, but I just somehow or another, I mean, don't God understand? No! He don't understand. He don't understand. He makes His rules, that's it. And I said, it impairs your judgment, brother. Just like alcohol, it impairs your judgment. It takes the spirituals. I've had a man tell me, he said, man, I smoke pot and read the Bible. I get a lot out of it. I bet you do. You get something, but it's from the devil. But you ain't going to get no spiritual truth. So the guy said, man, God made the herbs. God made them herbs. And I said, that was in chapter 2, dude. Chapter 2, the herbs was good. You could smoke all you wanted in chapter 1 and chapter 2. But in chapter 3, they sinned and He cursed it. And from chapter 3 on, them herbs got a curse. You, kiss a rattlesnake then. You could before Genesis 3. You can't now. It's cursed. And alcohol has a curse on it. Are you listening? Alcohol is cursed. There's a right place for medicine prescribed by a doctor. But alcohol and drugs are cursed of God. As a recreational something for you to use. Now listen. He kept in. He'd get in. He'd get out. He'd get in. He'd get out. He'd get in. He'd get out. This went on when he was 30 years old. Through a marriage. Through a separation. Through two or three girlfriends. In, out. This time of year. Many years ago, this time of year. Matter of fact, it would be a week from tomorrow, I'm assuming. Maybe 2 weeks from tomorrow. I preached down in Florida. I came home. And there was my answering machine was just flashing like that. And I punched that button on that answering machine. I heard a woman screaming. She said, Harry! Daddy! 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 I called his name. He said, he's dead! He's dead! And I called her! And she said, we found him dead. He took too many pills. One time too many. We found him dead. And I preached his funeral. Good boy. Loved the Lord. He had a heart for God to go to church. He just let that stuff get him. Listen, it's harvest. Sin will get you. Sin. I don't care who you are. I don't care how smart you are. You can think I've got a handle on it. You think I can control it. But sin will get you. Teenagers, sex outside of marriage will get you. It'll get you in more trouble than you'll ever get out of. Alcohol, drugs, it'll get you. So this boy one time went and joined the Navy. And they started trying to get him to do stuff and he wouldn't do it. And he said, I'm home now. He's a little rich kid and didn't think he had to do what nobody said. They said, do it. And he said, no. He said, do it. And he said, no. They said, do it. And he said, no. And here's what the commanders told him. They said, buddy, we can't make you do nothing, but we can make you wish you had it. And that's the way God is. God ain't going to make you do nothing. I tell you what He'll do. He'll get you to a place where you wish to God you hadn't have. Or you had of. My old saying is, God won't stop you from sinning. He won't. You can go out there and do something stupid tonight. You can go rob a convenience store tonight. He won't stop you. But you won't stop Him from knocking your head off one of these days either. When it comes time for judgment, it's called sowing and reaping. It's harvest. Just like them pumpkins found. Listen, them little things used to not be that big. That's like a little bitty sin in your life. Little seed. Little pumpkin seed. And now look, that's the way sin is. It grows and grows and grows and grows. It takes over your life. It's harvest time for sin and judgment. Maybe tonight would be a good time while they come and get us a song. Maybe tonight would be a good time for some of you young people. I think we had a young person or two the other night hit the altar. Say, that dirty music stuff I listen to, that's got to go. That's got to go. If I'm going to live for God, that's got to go. The dirty movies. The sleeping with my boyfriend, the sleeping with my girl. That's got to stop. He said, what are we going to do, Brother Danny? Get married. If you can't get married, quit. If you can't quit, kick yourself for being so weak. That's right. That's the best advice I can give you. If you can't quit, kick yourself. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Father, do what ought to be done in our heart right now.